Hey, I'm Parker Lennon.
And this is Chuck Stack.
And you're listening to Fact Fitness.
Use fitness as a goal for something we wanted to do, and it allowed us to do things like rock climbing and surfing and do it in a fun way.
Things you should question yourself about before you compete.
Everybody's different. And so if you think you're going to be just like that study, or you think you're going to fall directly into that category, you're probably wrong.
I follow doctors and certain trainers that are PhDs and stuff so that I can get what they're doing their research on.
High game is the relentless pursuit of meeting new people.
This is like killing a million little organisms at a time.
I was in a really bad place, but what got me through was fitness, number one, and secondary was meditation and really good friends, of course.
There were some serious whoopsies not too long ago. Did you guys see that girl that pooped in the cage?
Oh yeah, no. I did see that. Yeah,
man, that's so terrible.
Well, I mean, when you're on,
she literally shit her pants.
You lose muscle, you know, tone. And stuff
yeah,
like that.
I mean, she probably cut all kinds of weight, and it was. I've seen a lot of wrestlers do that.
Yeah. No, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So I guess this is a good start to talk about with the MMA. I would say that probably the biggest thing with the MMA, it's similar to like wrestling. So you probably see a lot of like traditional, you know, especially cutting methods that might not be the safest. So.
Yeah. And I think it's improved a lot over like when I was doing it, I wasn't doing it right. Like I would cut way too much weight. And I actually, one of my fights, I was an amateur, but, after my fight, I went the distance in the fight, and I ended up in the hospital because I couldn't keep liquids down after the fight.
Damn.
So yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
you gotta cut weight right. That's one of the biggest things in MMA.
Well, it's like
is learning how to cut your weight.
Well, now, I mean, with you and your boys in wrestling, you've seen, I mean, they're at youth wrestling. And when I was at youth wrestling, I mean, even then they were cutting weight, you know, and like running with trash bags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. Dude, speaking of that, I saw two people on the, on Bayshore yesterday, with sweatsuits on, and the heat index was 103.
Oh man.
And I was like, you guys, there's so many better methods to doing that. Like, for one, it's 100, yeah. The heat index is 103, so you don't need the fucking thing on.
Yeah, I take that back, Parker. Right. My first experience with fasting was when I wrestled.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They're like, you're not going to eat for like 3 days, and we're going to give you just water and try not to pass out in practice, but you made weight. Congratulations.
How'd you do with that fasting? I did a fasting, like cutting weight. In fighting was a little different for me because I cut a lot of water weight, but with fasting, it's just a different.
Yeah,
it made me sick.
I mean, fasting now opposed to fasting before was a lot different. Like as a youth, like it was definitely not the best approach, I would say for sure. Like something low calorie would have been even better. I would have probably responded better, but I came from coming from BMX and stuff like that. Like I had quite a large amount of grit, you know, so it didn't affect me too bad mindset wise, but physically it was definitely not the best thing. Like I feel like if anything, that was what messed me up from high school was trying to lose a substantial amount of weight and doing it with
I'm trying to get it to where you're not talking to a ghost right now.
That's like, there I am. But yeah, but doing
better
it
better we can see, like, right?
I was trying to lose a substantial amount of weight without having, I don't know. Nobody really thought about that. About
there you go.
They were like, yeah, just this is the way to do it. And that's the way to do it. So now they take more of a scientific approach and they do, you know, you're eating regular food in regular amounts. But
people that are on you know, fighting at a higher level.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't have, you know, they don't have that the trainers or the money to pay for someone to do it for them.
Yeah,
they're doing it the bad way still. So
you know, like I didn't put this on the questions, but something that I was thinking of just hearing you guys talk about this, like, do you see yourself, like, if Lennon continues or Jack does get into wrestling, becoming a coach and being? I know you are kind of coaching right now, right?
Yeah, just with Lennon, but yeah.
But do you see yourself being like more of a new school coach that doesn't do all the dumb shit that they do?
Yeah, I'm not gonna have them cutting weight.
Yeah,
it's not gonna happen. I didn't cut weight when I was little. I cut weight when I started in like high school.
Yeah,
and I did cut weight in high school. But yeah, I think that, you know, when you're young, it makes you not want to compete in the sport. If you're starving your kid before they go wrestle,
yeah,
they're not going to want to do it. It's not enjoyable.
Do you think it led to any like unhealthy relationships of food with you?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, now, cause you just want to eat everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm just a fat ass. No,
no, you're not.
No, I do like eating everything, but it also made me appreciate food. But I didn't cut weight as I was, you know, when I was a kid though. So I can't say. I'm sure that it leads to some dysfunction as far as eating goes with kids that, you know, were forced to cut weight, but my dad never made me do that. So
yeah, that's cool though. I mean, he's an awesome dude. I met him a bunch.
Yeah.
And he's still a badass to this day. Yeah. So
all 5'5" of him.
Yeah, he's shorter.
Dude, those are some of the nastiest wrestlers and stuff, man.
Yeah.
Look, Chuck's saying that because he's short.
I was about to say, I'm speaking from experience.
You're all short.
But the problem was, I was like, I always had to do heavyweight. And I was like, at my max weight in high school at that time, I was like 210. So going against like the unlimited guys and stuff, it was a lot. Right. I got a lot of belly to back suplexes against me and stuff. So.
Chuck's just knocking shit over in here. Yeah, you guys wouldn't have wrestled each other then.
No. I wrestled like my freshman year. I wrestled 103. My sophomore year, 112, and then 119, and then 125. So I was always a little guy anyway.
So let's keep this going. Like, what got you started into the MMA, the sport of MMA?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of variables there, but,
so take us through your progression, I guess.
Yeah. So wrestling was my background. Out of high school, right out of high school, I had my oldest son, Camden, which is 14 now, which makes me really, really old. But right after high school, you know, I'd competed my whole life, and my plan, from when I was as young as I can remember, was to go to college and wrestle. So I did that. I went to IU for a short stint, and but I had a kid I had to take care of. So, you know, wrestling at that level in Division I is like a job in its own. Plus school, plus, you know, trying to work to support your kid as well. It was tough. So yeah. I ended up coming home, and I went and worked in a factory for 8 months. And it was terrible. I drank a lot of Mountain Dew. I started drinking a lot of Mountain Dew. I got fat. I gained a lot of weight. And then about 8 months into that, I'm spraying mosquito spray. I'm sorry.
But it's all good. I heard you smack one right when we started.
Yeah.
But, for those of you who don't know, he's in Indiana in the country.
Yeah. So, but after 8 months of it, I was just, and I was kind of depressed because I had given up on something that I, you know, wanted to do for a long time. Always said I was going to wrestle in college. And, so I was just kind of eating and drinking my, depression away. And, a buddy of mine, he's a promoter and manager, Chaz Bowling. He invited me to come train. So I went and started training with him. And about 6 months to a year after that, I had my first amateur fight. And then I kept fighting for about 7 years after that.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So in that progression, like, how did your training progress? Like, did you have like a, did it seem like the intensity just built and like you, then you all of a sudden you're at the professional level, or was it just like kind of like over the years, you learned better technique.
I had about a year of like actual training with MMA. And I had 15 amateur fights. I fought 15 times as an amateur and I was 15-0. So at that point, my manager was like, well, do you want to make some money doing this? Might as well. Like, yeah. So, that's when we decided to turn pro. And all it really is, there's not a big difference between, you know, my last amateur fight and my professional fight. The only difference was I was making money for, you know, I was fighting someone that was, that had already been a professional. That's really the, what, you know, turning pro means. So. Yeah.
And so I know that, from talking to you back in the day when you're doing it and, just kind of hearing it from my sister, of course. For those of you who don't know, also, this is my brother-in-law. So that's why we have him on the show. And it's a good topic to talk about that we have not talked about. But you did a lot of training camps too, right? In a lot of sweet-ass places.
Yeah. Yeah, I luckily, you know, Chaz had, my manager had a lot of connections. He had been doing this since I was a kid, really. Since, you know, MMA first started. So he had a lot of connections everywhere. So I got to train, in Hawaii. I went to, you know, everywhere we went, like for a fight, we had somewhere to train. He knew everybody in the fight game. But yeah, I went to Hawaii for training, San Diego, American Top Team down in Florida, Coconut Creek, Miletich's camp. Back when it was, I'm not saying it's not good now, but back when it was a powerhouse, that was probably the most intense place I've ever trained. It was, really? It was crazy there.
And then you got to fight like all over too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, all over the country. And then, I fought in, Japan a couple times and then Australia towards the end of my, actually that was my last fight. Was in Australia. That's when I stopped fighting.
Yeah, I remember that one.
To the land down under.
2012.
So that's right. Right when we shot my first video ever for Linen Fitness. And I'm gonna put that in our description so that you can see what we both used to look like. I was like skinny and shredded, and you were skinny and shredded.
Yeah, I've gained about 50 pounds since then.
Honestly. Yeah, but nice. Dude, when I worked out with them, when I was back in Indiana, like the beginning of the summer, like into spring, I guess, I was like, fuck you, man. Like he was putting up some weight and he was just like, hey, by the way, I don't warm up for my bench sets. And I was like, dude, I'm going to die. Like my shoulders will die.
Warming up just makes me tired and not, you know, I can't hit as much then.
Yeah, it was.
Cause my conditioning now is garbage, but I've been focusing on trying to get strong.
Did you find that the conditioning was harder to work on or the strength was harder to work on for you personally?
Conditioning.
Do you think that most fighters struggle with conditioning or would you say
probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like most of the MMA fighters and most, you know, just people in that arena are naturally strong, you know, like they tend to be a little bit stronger or, you know, their environment tends to make them stronger. So I've always found the same thing, like the conditioning is always the hardest thing in sport. Like I can get kind of strong quick, but you know, working on your wind and your conditioning and like being able to breathe for, you know, 10, 12, 15, you know, 30, 90 minutes of physical activity. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what you guys, you know, that's putting it all out there every round. So,
and that's the opposite. Like, I don't struggle with that at all because I was an endurance athlete. But I will tell you straight up, if I do anything that's like boxing oriented, or like start to throw my hands and my feet around like that, there's no way I would have that kind of conditioning because it's a lot of fast twitch too.
And that's what we do. As far as strength and conditioning goes, when I was fighting, I didn't do a lot of like heavy lifting. I didn't do, you know, like I'm doing now. I would do more fast pace, you know, circuit type stuff and not lift. I was never lifting heavy because if I lifted heavy, I'd gain weight. And then, you know, I would have to cut it. So
yeah. And I'd like last time we trained, the two times ago when I was there, like almost a year and a half ago, we were doing farmers carries with like a ridiculous amount of weight. And it was, it wasn't just like a little stint. It was like around a track.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember that
after like forearm workout or something ridiculous. But yeah. So how was the crossover? Like I wanted to go back to like when you went from wrestling to getting into mixed martial arts, like how was that crossover for you? Was it easy or was it like a challenge to learn the skill?
No, like growing up, I never fought. I never got in fights. Like as a kid, I wasn't a, you know, a lot of people that got into MMA, you know, or even people that I was training with, they, you know, grew up fighting their brothers or just, you know, out in the streets, just fighting in general. And I never did that. I never, like, I didn't, I mean, I got in a couple fights maybe, but I don't think I won. So I never thought that I would be fighting. And like, I would see, my cousin Josh, he fought a couple times in the cage. So I went and watched him fight a couple times, but as I was watching him, I wasn't like, oh yeah, this is something I definitely want to do. This was when I was like in seventh, eighth grade, I was watching these fights. But then after high school, I kind of went on a little spree of fighting. I started drinking and I got in some street fights and I realized that I could fight. For one, I realized that I kind of realized how to use my wrestling, to my advantage. So,
and he's scary to drink with, by the way, if he has a bad night.
Chuck knows too.
Yeah. I forgot to say that was the last time that we actually hung out in person.
We had to chase your ass down. I forgot about that. We had to tame the beast.
So, I mean, at least
listen now.
It didn't get too bad.
That doesn't happen all the time. That was a bad miss.
You know what, it
was good fun until, you know, somebody did. I mean, I agree. It was kind of a jerk move, but
it's these Sarasota kids, man. Yeah. They fucking know. Anyways, you didn't do anything bad to anybody. Let's disclaim that.
He went off on his own.
Yeah, it was fine.
The record for all my Facebook.
He handled himself all right. He actually just disappeared. You know, it was kind of more the issue.
Here's the tip. If you hear Matt start hissing like a cat, I'm not joking about
The lion's away.
You need to get him out of there. And also, he's like a gremlin. You do not feed him whiskey.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do that with gremlins, but he only gets beer.
Everybody knows that.
No shots.
That was actually a good transition into my next question. How, when you did find that switch, like how did you turn it on and off? Like, what was the thing that you kind of like? Was it like a ritual? Was it like, you know, setting up your gear? Was it the day of? Was it a certain song? Like what turned you on, you know, as, you know, Matt Jagger, the fighter?
It's kind of a weird situation, honestly, when you're getting ready to fight. So say leading up to the fight week, I'm going to have to go inside because I'm getting tore up by mosquitoes. But leading up to fight week, it is really, it's a strange feeling. You know, you're starving. Okay. For me anyway, this is not for everyone because, you know, there are a lot of fighters that do it right and cut weight the right way and they're eating, you know, an hour before they weigh in. But for me, I cut a lot of weight and it was not fun. After weigh-ins, which is usually the day before the fight, it's kind of like a relief because, you know, you made weight, you're ready to go. You know, you get to eat and drink. For me, drinking was the most, you know, the best part of making weight because I could do without food, but when you take water from me, it's not good. It's terrible going without water.
Which is actually funny. But,
that's kind of a crossover to getting ready for competition.
I was going to say that was the thing that I actually did in my bodybuilding show that was really different for me is I did the opposite. Like I flooded myself with water and kind of used water as a natural diuretic and then cut it back, you know, like the week of. So Like when I was drinking a gallon, I felt like entirely parched. Like I felt like I hadn't been drinking whatsoever. So, but that was obviously after I learned, you know, that you can use that technique. So,
right, that's a good technique.
It sounds like you were using a lot of traditional methods. Yeah.
Right, and this was, and I was doing, you know, old school stuff that I was doing in high school. That's how I was cutting weight, and that's, you know, that's, I thought that was the best way to do it when clearly I was wrong.
Well, but, you know, we talk a lot about this on the show too, like the stuff that we did, like when I first started that video we have, when I was first training with you, there's some stuff I did with clients and I'm like horrified of now.
Right.
I thought Insanity was a cool workout back then, and now I'm like, that's ridiculous. Right. Like it makes sense why it works, but it's not good for your body in the long run.
Yeah, it worked for me. I mean, I made the weight, but I definitely wasn't giving myself the, you know, an advantage by cutting weight like that. It was definitely took a toll on my body for sure. But
so going kind of back to that, what Chuck was asking, I have never asked you about this, and now that we've delved into these books like Stealing Fire and The Rise of Superman, were there any like times where you're like meditating? He was talking about, I guess, pre-fight rituals, but were there any things that you were doing for your mindset to not go like insane?
I mean, I always talk to myself, especially the day of the fight. You wake up. As far as in the cage and in the ring, I had 45 fights. That's with like amateur and professional fights combined.
It's a lot.
And every day, you know, even towards the end of it, after I had 40 some fights, when you wake up, it's fight day. It's time to, I'm getting ready to fight somebody. It's just a strange feeling. But going, you know, when you're actually at the venue and, you know, you're sitting back there waiting to fight, it's just, you have to talk yourself into and out of a lot of things. Yeah. For me, you know, I'm like, why the hell did I do that? Why did I even sign up for this again? That's honestly how my brain was working. And then, you know, even walking out to the cage, you're just kind of in the zone. And then once they ring the bell or, you know, tell you you're ready to fight, it's just, it's like you're just free. It's like, it's one of the, it's hard to explain because I've never experienced anything like it. But for me, everything like slows down, but it's over so fast.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's, like before the fight, you have an adrenaline, I guess they call it an adrenaline dump, where, you know, I'm warming up and I'm like, okay, I hit the pads for 3 minutes and I'm exhausted. Like I hit the pads and my arms are heavy, my legs are weak. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I've been doing 10 5-minute rounds for the past 6 weeks and now I'm tired from hitting the pads for 3 minutes. But it's the adrenaline. No matter how hard you work out, for me, the adrenaline would just wear you out.
Yeah, that's not, that to me would probably be like the hardest thing. Cause
yeah.
Well, like I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause I think a lot of people in competition in general don't prepare for that, you know, or they don't like practice at least how to like keep themselves moderated and a little bit under control. So, you know,
we lost them and we got them back at the same time.
To kind of hear you talk about like an adrenaline dump is really good. Cause I think that's definitely something that a lot of fighters, let alone competitors of any sport, you know, don't consider. So,
well, this is why I wanted to ask you kind of how you felt about it, because when he described that, it's literally how I felt BMX racing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way that I feel with anything that's, you know, even the same thing with triathlons or a marathon. When you get up there, you're like, why the hell did I sign up for another one of these fucking things?
Yeah.
And then it's like, as soon as you get into the race, like it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, here we go. You know, like,
it's a high.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's exactly why you sign up for the next one.
Right. Yeah, but then again, you know, when you get there, you're like, what am I doing?
Yep.
Why am I getting ready to fight this guy? He looks really mean.
Did you notice that adrenaline dump more or less, like, as your career progressed? Like, further
in? It never changed.
Yeah.
I thought maybe, you know, I learned to deal with it better as I progressed in my career, but it never changed. I was just as, I don't want to say nervous, because I wasn't nervous, but
it was the same routine, the
same emotions on my last fight as I did my very first fight.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is too, like, your personality, you're not a cocky person. Like, you're confident for sure, but you're not like arrogant. <Thanks. laughs> Yeah. I mean, you got confidence,
but it's like a quiet confidence. Like,
yeah, it's a very quiet confidence. Like, I think people would size you up in a bar and misjudge and get their ass kicked.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, me,
that happens all the time.
Yeah, I was, me personally, like, thinking of if I were to fight you, you know, like, it would be like, if you got quiet, I'd be like, shit, what's gonna happen with this guy? Like, it's just like, you know, you can kind of predict. And that's kind of another interesting point that I'd like to ask you on. Like, how did you prepare for that? Like, when you eyed up another fighter, or you, like, prepared yourself, like, did you watch their fights? Did you just go into it with your same routine? Was it a matter of training? What was it that you, like, what yeah, was the preparation like?
Most of the time, we knew what, you know, my opponent was good at and what they weren't. Whether it be from videos, or just from word of mouth. Like I said, my manager knew, like, everyone in the MMA game. So he would get the scoop on, you know, if they're good at jiu-jitsu, obviously we want to try to stand up with them. If they're, you know, a good boxer, try to take him down. We always had a game plan. But the game plan, you know, most of the time, once you get in there, your game plan changes. I mean, you can try to stick to a game plan, but usually it's just how the fight flows, and that's how you have to, you know, you have to react to it.
So what were your stats? Like, being a wrestler, like, you're better on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had more probably submissions than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite fight ever? Was it amateur or was it pro?
My favorite fight, honestly, is a fight I lost. It sounds stupid, but, my favorite fight was early in my career. It was probably like my sixth fight or something like that, but I lost the fight because, I was supposed to win the fight. I think it was in Oklahoma. I was supposed to win the fight. The kid had, you know, I mean, I probably should have won 10 out of 10 times, honestly, just on, you know, skill level alone. And I was out of shape. I beat the dude up for a good amount of time. And he could take a beating, and he sustained it, and I gassed out and I lost the fight. It's my favorite fight because at that point I told myself I was never going to be out of shape for a fight again. And after that fight, I can say that I never showed up to a fight out of shape, because one thing you can control in fighting or wrestling or anything else is what kind of shape you're in. And for me, that was the turning point for, you know, my fighting career. So.
Well, that was a great point that, like, Dr. Jason Richardson talked about in his book, was the fact that, like, you can learn something from it, basically, you know. And
yeah,
sometimes your greatest accomplishment or your greatest win is not a win, you know, like, it's like a learning experience or something like that. And, you know, to hear that you developed as a fighter and an athlete, like, that takes a lot to learn that lesson, you know. And luckily, yeah, I'm sure you learned it then, you know, not like after going that multiple times.
it was embarrassing. I mean, honestly, I mean, you're fighting in front of, you know, thousands of people, and it's a fight that I never should have lost, and I lost it because I wasn't prepared for it. So After that, I never showed up to a fight out of shape.
That's awesome. I wasn't even expecting that answer, but that's like probably the best answer we could have got with that. So, so what was the worst one?
My least favorite fight, man. Well, this is an easy one too, actually. So I was fighting, this is my second fight in Japan. And I was fighting a guy, his name's Korean Zombie. He fights in the UFC now. But he's just, well, he's from Korea, and his nickname is Zombie because he can take punches and just kind of walk through them. He's just kind of a scary dude. But
is he from South Korea, not North?
South, yeah.
I was going to say,
South.
If he's from North Korea, then just, fuck that guy.
Right. No, right. No, this he actually just had to go on, 2 years ago, he had to go on a leave from the UFC because.
Yeah, I just watched that. I know you're talking about. Can't carry on. Sorry.
You have now, so you have in South Korea, you have to, no matter what, you have to serve in their military. So he just got back from that not too long ago.
He won that fight, right? His first fight back. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Dude's ridiculous. So sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
he's pretty good. Right. No, but the reason it's my least favorite fight is because, one of my good friends, he's passed away since, he was a great dude, but he, had a Dodge Viper. Okay. It was blue. It had white stripes on it. And he told me if I won that fight, then he was going to give me that fucking Dodge Viper.
And Matt loves Dodge vehicles too.
But it's a dagger. It was a dagger to my heart because I lost the fight. And it's like, you know, when you lose a fight, you lose your pride anyway. But then I was like, and I lost a Dodge Viper. So it was devastating. It was devastating. But, and I broke my hand in that fight.
I was going to say, so I thought that was the one that you broke your hand.
Mm. Yep. Had to come back home, and get surgery on my hand for a pretty penny.
So how did you deal with the injuries? Like, that's a sport just like BMX. It's not when you get hurt, or it's not if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt.
Right.
So
yeah, it sucked. I mean, if you get hurt, even, you know, if you're, my first fight in Japan, I tore my LCL, which is not that serious, but it definitely puts a damper on your training. So, but you had to fight. I mean, it was either fight and make your money, or not fight and not pay your bills. At that point, that's where where we were at. So, you just got to fight through it. And that's what a lot of people don't realize about MMA and UFC fighters. You know, people get pissed when the fight's canceled or whatever, but these guys are training every day of the week a lot harder than they actually fight in the fight. And they're doing that every single day.
And multiple times a day too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 2 or 3 days, you know, 3 times a day. True. So,
well, that's my question too. Do you think that maybe they're overtraining, or back in the day you guys were training too much, or do you think that there's never enough time to get the skills that you need to fight?
Oh yeah. Back in the day, for sure. I think that, you know, at least with sparring was definitely, it was overdone a lot because, especially with all the, you know, concussion, issues that are going on well, you see it with football mostly, but you took a lot of trauma when you're sparring, you know, 3 days a week, full on sparring. It's not good for you at all.
Probably taking a lot of unnecessary abuse.
Yeah. How many concussions do you think that you've suffered throughout all of it? Like, if you could guess.
Carrie will tell you about 100 because, you know, she says I have an altered brain, but
yeah.
but concussions a lot. I was only knocked out probably 3 times that I can think of. Those are the times I remember. I think only once in a fight, actually. Maybe once in a fight. But in practice, a couple times.
You're like, I can't remember, sorry.
Right, right. But concussion, I mean, a concussion, you know, you can definitely get a concussion and not be out.
Yeah.
And I experienced that quite a bit, honestly.
So we're all probably in the same boat on that one.
Yeah. I think that's such a serious note that athletes don't take into consideration. You know, like now it's being brought to attention, but there's still not enough protocol and safety for the athlete, you know, in that sense. And a lot of times it's not necessarily like it's more about like not getting one while you're still under, you know, recovery from the previous one. Like that's kind of like the biggest thing that I think needs to be addressed. And they're starting to do that, but it's still, I see a lot of people take too much of like an old school approach in that sense. And they're like, how many fingers? Cool. You got it right. Go back in, you know, like, and when in reality, you know, if that person's like unconscious or not, you know, even if they're moving around.
A teammate of mine, I saw him get knocked out, not like dazed and standing up, and knocked out like three times within like two practices. That's not good for your head.
No.
No, so
that's not enough time. Well, you know this too. You're a respiratory therapist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been through all of the anatomy and physiology, and you know
the
effects of this.
A lot of ALS patients are linking concussions to ALS, and a lot of my patients have ALS.
So we're all screwed.
Well, that's why I'm researching into the qEEG and different type of brain scans that are, you know, being used nowadays, and the technology is allowing. And I'm trying to bring that to like the training front too, because a lot of people don't even know about that. And it's like a brain scan that it's not necessarily insurance. You know, you might be able to get insurance to cover it, but it's something that can tell you a lot about yourself and ways that you can kind of fix some of those quirks and those issues. So it's something I'm planning on doing. You know, I think it's great that we're kind of bringing it up on this episode, because I think it does need to be addressed in all sports.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, I rode a main, I wrecked in my semi and still got up and crossed the finish line in like fourth place, which is how you get into the main. And, I couldn't see straight, but I rode it. So had I wrecked again, which would have been really easy. I mean, I would have had a massive concussion. I mean, it knocked me out, and I still got up, picked the bike up and rode the main. And I don't know that I could do that to this day.
So we mentioned a little bit like your transition into the sport of mixed martial arts, like how, with all of that we've discussed right now, how did you transition out of it? Like, was it a huge learning curve was it that easy? Like, was it like cut off? And
it
then,
was with my like, sister on his back.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times a good woman can help with that for sure. But like,
I was still fighting when I went back to school. I was still fighting, and my last fight, which was in Australia, I lost the fight, and my heart, I could just tell my heart wasn't in it. You know, I wasn't, it just wasn't, you know, losing that fight, what didn't affect me as much as it would have in the past. So at that point, I knew I was done. And I always told myself I wouldn't fight. You know, when I first started, I said I wouldn't fight just for the money. I did it originally because it was I missed competing, because I'd done it my whole life. You know, I wrestled since I was 5 years old. So I liked the competition. That was the main reason I did it. And then I started making money, which was great. But, you know, once I did start making money, I was like, you know, I don't want to do this just for money, and I'm not going to. So it was kind of easy for me to stop. I do miss a lot of things about it. I don't miss cutting weight. Training now for me, like going to the gym, is enjoyable. Whereas when I had to do it, it wasn't as enjoyable. I miss, teammates. I miss, you know, training, because a lot of those guys I trained with were, you know, I was with them every single day, and sweating and bleeding with them. So they were like, you know, my brothers. But so I miss that. I miss, you know, having a team. But other than that, I'm pretty happy not fighting. I like not getting hit in the face.
I mean, you said that really well. I think it sounds like you're having a great transition, you know, into just life, you know, after being a professional athlete. The only thing that I'd like to ask you in that sense is, like, do you still compete in anything? Like, what do you do?
He's shaking his head right now.
I mean, like, so what is your competition? Is it just like you said, you enjoy the gym? It's obviously like, those are
myself.
Those are like big accomplishments. You finally get to focus on like you. And
yeah,
I think that's such a great thing because a lot of people don't think of that. And, you know, you're obviously, you know, enjoying, you know, life after the intense competition.
Well, I can tell you, he doesn't put his training into pool. Because I beat his ass in pool. That's awesome, man. Like, I still think like you do like set goals for yourself though. I mean, last time I was there, you laid it out and you're like, hey, I'm gonna hit this weight. Like, and then you set a cutting goal too, and you kind of got to that. Recently.
Now I'm going back the other way.
Yeah. Well, you got to get burly for the winter time there.
Right. I'm trying to gain weight again. And I was like, and I wanted to, you know, lose a little bit of weight for summer. And then about a month ago, I was like, screw this, man. I felt small. So I decided to start eating again.
It's kind of the cycle that we go through too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a shortcutting process for me.
That's right where I'm at. I'm like, I'm now the heaviest I've been in probably about 3 or 4 years and maybe even longer. And I'm comfortable here. It's funny how you kind of go through those transitions and, you know, competing in different sports where that is a necessity, where your weight is a focus and stuff like that. You kind of enjoy it when you don't have to focus on that and you kind of just get to be you. And like I said, it sounds like you have had a good balance from following you for a while now. I see that it seems to me, just like Parker said, like setting personal goals as well as like you and Kara are kind of competitive a little bit towards each other and everything.
Yeah.
And then you do some of the coaching and stuff for your kid. I think it's such a great balance that, you know, it shows a lot of athletes that there is a great life outside of that. And
right.
And I think you'll live vicariously through them anyways.
Yeah. That's one of the, you know, for me when, you know, with Lennon Wrestling, that's been pretty cool for me. Because, you know, the stuff that I was taught by my dad and my coaches growing up, I'm able to kind of pass on to him. So it's been pretty cool. And hopefully he keeps on doing it.
Yeah.
he said he likes it. So we'll see.
He's a hell of a baseball player too. So.
Oh yeah, he loves baseball.
But I have a feeling Jet's gonna be a wrestler, man. I'm just calling this. He's good.
He's gonna be the professional wrestler.
Yeah, like WWE.
There you go. Hey, there's good money in that.
More than amateur wrestling for sure.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating for me, and that was the reason I got out of like Roman Greco style wrestling was because I was like, dude. This is like the traditional way and it's like the right way, but like everybody's making money off of like fake slaps and like belly to back suplexes. Like
and that's also though kind of what's awesome about wrestling is because there's, you know, there's no one really recognizes you to wrestle. No one, you know, when you're in high school, you don't get the recognition that, a football or team or basketball team does. But that's the beauty of it. It's like there's no glory behind it, but you do it anyway. And it's one of the toughest sports, in my opinion. I mean, I know I'm a little biased because I do it, but I don't wrestle anymore. But to me, that's why it was cool. That's why I like doing it because no one, you know, there was 10, 20 people at our wrestling meets, but we still, you know, practiced like animals and competed, and that's why I liked it.
Yeah,
that's why I still like it.
That's awesome. So we're talking about your kids and stuff. How do you, like, what advice do you have to parents that have kids to keep on training? You know, like how do you balance that? You know, like the chaos of having kids, but the consistency of going and working out.
There's a daycare at the gym.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for not working out. And I miss workouts. I'm not saying I don't. I have things that I have to do, and I miss workouts for sure. But for the most part, we try to get to the gym, almost every day. But I also have a wife that is a workout freak as well. So she, if I don't work out, she makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys make it a priority, and that's great advice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think it's good for our kids too, to set a good example for them to, want to be healthy and they like going to the gym, and after the daycare, after we pick them up, they want to run laps. So
Yeah, that's a cool thing. Like, and you do see that with them too. Yeah, man. Like that's pretty much all we wanted to ask you. And I know. Yeah. I feel like my sister's like on your back right now. Like, hey, you need to be done.
I know that's winning. He's coming out in the garage to get toys because just had a birthday, so all of his toys are stashed out here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Noah, thanks for your time. It's awesome for you to dedicate it to us. And, you have an awesome family you've definitely transitioned well into, kind of a working life in that sense.
A normal person.
Yeah. No, it's a great role model for, the sport and for the future of, a brutal sport in that sense. And it's good to hear that you had a full run at it and, a good experience nonetheless.
Yeah. And you're not like the guy that just went to prison for like attempted murder or whatever.
What's that guy's? Good.
What is that guy's name? Good.
War Machine.
War Machine. Yeah.
Suiting name. So,
right. Okay. So one thing we have to do, cause we actually have somebody that is an expert. How do you feel about all of the publicity behind this fight?
I wanted to ask it too. McGregor or
Mayweather and McGregor.
Mayweather and McGregor. Yeah, I knew it was
two. Chuck, can I remember it?
Is this who I would bet on or who I want to win?
And that's what I keep saying too. Like that's because
if I had a bet on a boxing match, I'm gonna bet on Floyd Mayweather, hands down.
Yeah.
But I would like to see Conor win, and it's not because I like him. I don't like either one of them, to be honest with you. But he's to me, he's representing MMA, and that's how a lot of people are going to look at it. They're going to look at it as this is an MMA versus boxing. But even though he's boxing, he's going to his game. If he loses, they're going to say, okay, well, obviously boxing is still better or more relevant than MMA. So
it's a win-win for him. Like, he cannot lose.
He's getting paid, so he does not care.
Yeah. And the thing is, most people are saying he's going to walk away from the sport afterwards. Like, he's just going to cash in and be like, peace.
I mean,
four years in, four years out.
I don't blame him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash. Yeah. Well, I think that was kind of a cliche answer, but I think it was a good one nonetheless. So
still you might as well bet for him because the odds are still like way stacked against him. So if you bet a little bit of money, you're going to win something.
Like, with that said, I agree in the biggest sense in the fact that Mayweather is a boxer. He knows how to score points. He has a pretty good chin. If it comes down to points, he'll win, no doubt, because he's a boxer.
Well, here's something that you could bet on that's not, who will win and who will lose. Like, how many rounds? Do you think he'll stand up all the rounds? Or do you think he'll get knocked out?
I don't see McGregor. I don't see him get knocked out. But then again, I don't see him lasting for 12 rounds.
It's a long time.
Has a long time to stand up.
And when he's used to fighting, three rounds and going into 12 rounds, it's different because you're just boxing. You only have to focus on boxing. You don't have to worry about getting kicked or taken down or submitted or anything like that. So it's different. But still, he's going to have to move around a lot because Floyd he's quick and he's going to be moving a lot. So,
and he's got heavy hands.
I don't see him being in that great of shape because he's going to try to be heavier than him. I feel like he's going to try to be bigger than Floyd, and I think he's going to gas.
Oh, good well, prediction.
Yeah, we'll come back to you and see. I would go with your vote on it.
Yeah, I like your insight.
Yeah. Well, all right, we'll man. Well,
don't put your money on that because I don't
want you. You don't want to be responsible.
No.
Well, I don't think we're gonna bet on it for real.
Good.
We don't know enough to do, like, unless you want to go to Vegas and bet on, like, if they're gonna stand up, how many punches he's gonna land. Like, you're not gonna make any money, you know.
No.
But yeah, man. Like, when you get down here, I'd really love to get some videos with you. I know we've got one. We've got the tire flipping one. But you know, maybe some specific drills and stuff, and we'll keep
you in the loop. I think I can pick that tire up over my head now.
Oh, really?
Nice.
It's like three. No, it's like 238.
I still have it, right? Is that the one I have?
Yeah, it's the one I have.
Nice. I couldn't do that, but I could probably pick up the me in that video and over my head and throw them around.
That's good.
There you go.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to cut off the podcast, but you can stay on. And we'll talk to you for a little bit more. Thank you guys for listening. We were all this weekend shooting videos. We're going to have new YouTube videos up. We have the Go program in process. I've got most of my half of it done. Chuck's working on his half right now. And then we've got all the videos for the, I guess the assessment part of the video.
Yeah.
All that's done. We're just working on getting it together and getting it up online. So
yeah, we filmed some new flashy stuff for you and everything just to get your chops salivating, you know, and make you just look at our stuff, because it's what a lot of people are doing, but they're not explaining it. And we're actually going into detail from a professional opinion on how to do this stuff. So we're looking forward to getting all this content to you. And thanks as always for listening. And, you know, always share our stuff if you like it, follow, you know,
subscribe to our YouTube. Yeah, it's going to get better and better.
And post a review on iTunes. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, we need some reviews on iTunes, man. Yeah.
So if you don't start doing that, we're going to have to start chasing you guys down by username. So.
And I've been running a lot, so I can catch you.
Yeah, Parker's fast.
Yeah. All right, on that note, thank you for listening.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to FAQ Fitness Podcast. If you liked our show, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. For more workout programs, video resources, and to ask your fitness questions, check out our website at faqfitnesspodcast.com.